minute, Crossfade.
The Daily Talk Show.
A conversation sometimes worth recording with Josh Jensen and Tommy Jacket.
It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 146. Tommy Jacket.
Good to be back after a week off. Technically, not really a week off, but you know what I mean.
Well, it hasn't been a week off at all. The reason we say this is because we did, for the first time since I've been away, back-to-back guest episodes. So we on Friday.
Yeah. Well, it was more a bit of a. I blame it on the Italians. No, sorry. I blame it on the Germans.
Blame it on the Germans.
For the failed episode that we did record yesterday that didn't go to air and was replaced with Bianca Chatfield, which was a good chat.
Perfect timing as well. So Bianca has just started on The Block. The Block was premiered on Sunday night, wasn't it? It wasn't against All Aussie Adventures,
yeah,
was
Sunday
it?
Yeah, Sunday night. Yeah, up again. Big, that's a... They're fighting for the top spot. Yeah. But, yeah, I should just get a TV for the amount of times people ask me, have you watched this? You ask me all the time if I watch something and I don't have a television, so I can't watch it.
But if I can watch it, I watched All Aussie Adventures from Munich, Germany. Surely you can sort out something in St Kilda.
Jeez, I've just connected the dots. The reason we couldn't get yesterday's show to air, it was so bad with delay, was because you used all your data on All Aussie Adventures.
No,
it's true, isn't it?
I spent so much time searching for a VPN that would get through to 10play, because I normally use NordVPN. VPN, for people who don't know, I'm sure you do, virtual private network. Essentially, it's a way to be able to look like you're in a different country, and when you're in Germany, you can't access Australian content like 10play. So I'd used NordVPN, which was still blocking the content. So I just signed up for ExpressVPN. And so now I can, for those rare times where I want to watch Australian TV, I can watch it.
So now you're in Poland.
Yep.
What's Poland like?
I am so excited for being here. So I'm in Krakow, and I'd have to say we've only been here for maybe less than 12 hours, but we've been here probably for about 6 hours. But it has been so far my favorite place, I'm going to call it, that we've been to in Europe.
Really? And yeah, you're not a water guy, are you? I mean, you're on the Amalfi Coast in a boat,
yeah,
swimming through the crystal blue waters of the Blue Grotto, and now
you're
inland.
Don't like water. Don't like... There's all these things. I'm just like... this is good. This has been... It was probably 26 degrees today. It was... people will laugh at what I had for lunch. For lunch, I had American barbecue, and life's good. Life's really good in Europe.
Is that how they sold it? The shop said, we're selling American barbecue?
Yeah, well, yeah. So we're staying at this Airbnb. So one of the things about Krakow is the prices are so inexpensive. So it cost, like, our 22-minute drive in an Uber from the airport cost us $9. We had a for lunch, we had the first time we've really had like non sort of European food in a lot of ways, because we've just been eating so much like pizza, pasta. When we were in Munich, we went to a beer garden and did the whole sort of bratwurst and stuff like that. But the American barbecue, like we did like the two person like American barbecue type of thing, and it was $25 Australian dollars for the two of us, which you would have paid in Australia like $70. So that's not the only reason.
Jeez.
But people seem super nice as well.
I like that you're warming up for your trip to America. But there is one place you're going to that is probably the reason I'd go to Poland, and you're going to Auschwitz.
Yes, we've booked Auschwitz going on Thursday. So we did, when we were in Munich, we did a bit of history type stuff, got to hear some pretty full-on stories. And, you know, we walked down sort of the street where I don't know much about history and all that sort of thing, so I'm finding it really fascinating learning all this stuff. But the time, basically, Hitler was shot, you know, the time where he just went to jail and all that sort of thing. We were, like, walking along the street where all that happened and where he did his big sort of propaganda speeches. But, yeah, it's an interesting one going...
Yeah, so yeah, I've got a question for you. Mm-hmm. It's more thinking ahead to how you'll be acting at Auschwitz. Because yeah. I was in a conversation with a bunch of mates once, and we were talking about, like, what do you do when you go to these places? Because Auschwitz is one of those ones that, you know, you're very much respectful of, you know, the vibe and what went on. It was very dark there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we're in this world where everyone's documenting everything they do, and they want to, you know, take a photo. And then we started talking about, do people actually take photos at Auschwitz, and are people more so in the photos? Like, I know that people would probably just, you know, take sort of cinematic or, you know, really amazing looking photos yeah. of the landscapes and the surroundings. And so I went on to Instagram, and I typed in the hashtag Auschwitz and the location, and I went, and it's crazy. People actually take photos of themselves at Auschwitz. But then we were talking about, what do you do? Do you smile? What's the face that you do at these places? Because there's many of these kind of tourist attractions that had some pretty serious stuff go down, and they're probably you probably shouldn't be smiling
yeah.
at a photo. In a photo at a place like Auschwitz. And there were. I looked at the hashtag and people are smiling.
Yeah, people have no clue.
Like, coupled up. Yeah. And so I could guess what you would do, but is that a thing that's going through your mind? You're like, I'm not going to be respectful. I'm not going to take photos.
I don't think I feel awkward in some situations taking selfies anyway. But yeah, I think selfies at Auschwitz should be a no. Like, even if you want to get, if you
100%.
Yeah, if you want to get a photo of yourself as some sort of, you know, memory for yourself, there might be connections within, you know, there's heaps of reasons why this place might be, you might have a connection to it. I think, you know, a tasteful photo that's taken by someone else of you. But I think that it's a pretty, I personally don't see the need to have a photo, a selfie, or even a photo of me there. I'm just there to absorb and learn rather than, you know, use it as a selfie op.
I want a full report. Our reporter on the ground, are people doing selfies or just taking photos that are a bit inappropriate there? You don't have to. You just need to tell me. You don't have to take. I'd love you to take a photo of the person taking a photo, but that's probably just as disrespectful.
Yeah, man. I think that it's going to be. It's one of those ones where it's like you think about what holidays are, and this is definitely a different type of tour. So it's almost like when Bree and I were planning it, we're almost trying to plan it around like, okay, when, like, this is going to be a bit of an emotional hit. Where do we want this to sort of be through, you know, and sort of a big perspective, you know, shift or, you know, an opportunity to learn. So, yeah, it should be an interesting day.
Oh, it'll be super fascinating, dude. I'd love to go.
Yeah.
I'd absolutely love to. I've been listening to some podcasts at the moment with some people who have survived, you know, the
Holocaust.
That period of time.
Yeah.
And it's, oh my God, like, it's worth just having a listen to some of these people talking about, that period of time and just what they went through. I heard one guy, the way he survived the camp was he chose the job to work in the toilet, which was more of like a barn with, you know, just drop toilets. But so the reason he worked in there, because it was warm from the humans coming in and defecating. And and that's how he pretty much stayed alive. People, the guards didn't want to touch him, and the heat from the room helped him stay alive.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's just, I've got it pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm just worried about being cold at the moment, but fuck me.
Yeah, and it's the, I wonder in these situations too, when I hear these stories within history that we just can't fathom, I wonder what is going to be our version of that. Like, is there, are we going to look back at things that happened in North Korea or that's happening in North Korea or different parts of the world where we say, I can't believe, because I can't think of a time, like I can't put myself in that situation when, you know, then, you know, during war and during all of these, you know, crazy times. So I do wonder about that as well.
Yeah, I think there's not much that compares to that part of history at the moment. But I don't know. Who knows?
What's been happening? What have you been up to on the weekend?
Mate, it's just on the ground, working, just, you know, nothing. That's what you say when you've actually been doing nothing. Yeah, you know, mate, just
on the ground,
keeping it going. Just on the ground. I have been thinking about, I've wanted to do this. It's a benchmark that's been reeled out maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
But it's what's the point? I don't know. Did you have a jingle to it that you made up?
Nah.
You're always singing the jingle.
I think the only jingle that has really stuck was Life Trap, Baby Life Trap, which is probably as much as the singing you're going to get today. But no jingle yet for What's the Point. But what is the, what's the point? What's today's What's the Point, TJ?
So I know this is a good one because you're the opposing side, so you already know it, but I thought we could just flesh it out.
Yeah.
So in, say, I think in some videos, I know in some movies, especially on like news broadcasting, they remove the number plate or they blur out the number plate of a car.
Yeah.
Right? And so I know I've been asked to do this from people. Oh, can you just blur out the number plate? And my thinking was, I literally said, what's the fucking point of blurring out the number plate on this stuff? When, and I'll just dish up my case for it, because it's like, I could think of some reasons, but I'll let you dish out those as to why you should blur it out. But if you can go down the street and look around and see cars everywhere, and you can see their number plate, or you're driving your car down the street and there's number plates everywhere, there's no point, there's no need to really, like, unless your number plate's like, I don't know, a weapon that's very recognisable, that you didn't want people to just know your car because it was so, so recognisable, this number plate. There's no point in blurring out number plates.
Just quickly, did you ever have a custom number plate? Especially during your stripper days?
No. I thought about it. I bought my friend one. It was MA7DA, and it looked like Mazda.
Wow.
And I bought it for his 21st birthday.
Wow, what a good friend you are. But no, the I feel like because you're probably paying, what, you're paying $600 a month on the BMW repayments when you were in your early 20s, so you probably didn't want the extra cost of the rego. I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
So no, what's the point? No, I think that probably in a lot of these cases, it's all risk mitigation. That would be my guess, which is like sometimes if you're doing a, you'll watch some YouTube videos where they've integrated with a brand. So for instance, it might be they're doing some sort of integration with, say, Visa, and Visa might be really specific where you can't have other individuals' faces on, so you'd actually see blurred faces, or maybe within the context of the number plate sort of thing. I can see a bigger reason of, especially if you're say you're renting a car and you're doing something, you blur the number plate so that fucking Hertz can't come back and say, you know, you were driving this car inappropriately or things like that. But that's probably a shit answer. I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, but I think this is, and it's also like, just veering off, people holding up newspapers.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, like back in the day, it's like they still do that and there's no point in doing that.
Is this for the weight loss type of thing or the gains?
Yeah, for the weight loss thing. I know you're guilty of it. Don't tell me you haven't held up a newspaper in a photo.
I've never held a newspaper up.
You never have?
No, you just use the metadata. And if some fucker... the thing is, people are going to be like, yeah, we know that he couldn't have been that fat that long. Like, you know, people know. Like, I don't know. It's I have taken a fair few before photos, though.
Yeah, yeah. So have I. I'm guilty of it.
I've never gotten to the after photo. It's always been the before, just sort of stockpiling until, you know, you think it's going to give me this motivation. But maybe in 2020 I'll be able to have an after photo.
You hit the nail on the head. The metadata, it's the same. It's like I think people from over time have just seen, oh, no, you blur out number plates. Oh, no, you hold up newspapers. And it's become this thing where you just – people are doing it for the sake – of it because everyone else does it, but they haven't really thought too much about it.
Well, maybe so, that there's a level that people like it because they think that it elevates what they do. Like, I know that when I remember when I was in year 10 and I made a video of all these kids in woodwork smashing wood, sort of like this my version of like a Jackass video, and I was going to put it up on YouTube, and so I decided I'd go through and I blurred the uniform like logo, and I think it was as much as me thinking that I was a real top dog, like, yeah, I've censored it, guys, but it's going up online type of thing. But yeah, maybe that's part of it as well.
That's hilarious. So that was that's the grassroots of
blurring.
Yeah. I mean, you might have just I know I've used it when I've worked out how to use it.
Yeah.
But it's more for faces. I get it for covering up faces and stuff. I saw on the block Bianca Chatfield, she had some old footage of her playing netball and they blurred out the sponsor that was on their netball t-shirts, on their netball singlets.
Oh, interesting.
Which makes sense because they're conflicting and Channel 9 need to make their money through their own sponsors.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I get it when it's that, but I don't think there's much point these days of blurring out a number plate in a low-end production.
Yeah.
High-end, I get it, you're covering your ass.
Yeah, there's more to lose.
Medium to low.
Yeah. Well, on another note, there's a little bit of a delay, and for people who don't know, who haven't worked it out, Tommy is in St Kilda, in Melbourne, Australia, and I'm currently in Poland. I'm travelling for the next couple of months, and this is how we do the show. But we use FaceTime as our way of communicating. And then you and I, Tommy and I, record at each end, and then in post-production, Tommy emails me his audio, and I sync it up, and then we put it online. TJ, I was thinking about the FaceTime.
Fuck, it sounds easy. It sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not as easy as that. Well, people could hear. This is a specific one where I feel like the delay is a little bit more than usual, but at least we can hear each other when we're in Munich, or when I was in Munich. Yeah. You were getting half of what I was saying, so there was these huge monologues. But you know how you were asking me before about could I call you because you didn't, because of the number issue.
Yeah, so you've had about 7 different numbers since you've been gone, so I've got all these texts from all these different numbers that I can't keep up, and you called me on my phone, which means it didn't go off on my computer where I needed it to. So yeah, I asked you to call me again.
Well, it reminded me of an incident that I had probably a year ago where I was calling Bree on FaceTime. Because I don't know, like I don't think I could get onto her for some reason. And so I'm like, I'm going to try FaceTiming. And I FaceTimed her and it was calling and calling, calling. And then a guy, an old dude in like a taxi answered Bree's phone. I couldn't believe it. I was freaked out. I was like, at first I was like, is this some sort of prank? Is Bree in an Uber and she's just handed the phone to the guy? And then I went into a bit of panic mode and
that's
like,
classic
messaging. Could you imagine what's happened?
Well, I mean, you've got to know, like, to FaceTime somebody, you've got to go onto their phone and then you've got to click onto their number and then press FaceTime. So it would be hard to FaceTime someone random. Yeah. So I would be thinking the same.
Well, because I thought initially, I was like, have I clicked someone that's wrong? What had happened? It took me a bunch of research to work it out. But basically, when Bree and I had been in the US, we had added this, when you get that notification on your Mac or on the iPhone saying, do you want to add this number to your FaceTime? You add it to your FaceTime. And the thing is, that stays there, but then you get rid of the number and then someone else gets it. So what's happened is Bree's number was in, like, on the contact section of the US number was in her contacts. And so when I FaceTimed, it'd been probably FaceTiming this dude any time that I FaceTimed Bree, he would have gotten a notification saying that I was calling.
Oh, so he's just, who is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't answer a face. Like, I'm interested that he answered a video FaceTime.
Oh, I know.
I wouldn't, if I was getting a video FaceTime from a number I didn't know, other than a European number at the moment, because it's most likely you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't answer it. And so what happened? What was the interaction like?
It was very short. I just sort of panicked and hung up pretty quickly. But it took me a while to work out what was actually going on.
And so you just deleted that number, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of your phone.
Yeah.
I know they've got to recycle numbers.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that, like, how long between actually, say, if I finish my number. I've had my number since I was 14. I've had the same phone number. Mm. So if I got rid of that and cancelled it, how long does it take until they get a new one?
I'm not sure. I would say that it would be, I mean, in the US, my vibe is that they must recycle very quickly, because I've multiple times gone to the States and had texts from people coming through saying, hey, do you want to catch up? Like, and it's happened multiple times. So my feeling is that the US is maybe more prone to this sort of double up of numbers or getting a number that's just sort of been disconnected. But I feel like maybe it's less likely in Australia. Maybe we have a bit of a different system.
When I went to Sydney for one of the first times as a, like, 17-year-old, I was like a trip by myself. I'd been up there with family and holidays and stuff. But when I went up, no, I was 18 or 19. And I was up there and I was like, I'll call. I need to speak to mum. Yeah. I'll call her on the home phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, typed it in and still remember the number. Do you remember your home number?
Yeah, 9700-4584. It's no longer, they don't think they use it anymore.
Solid. Yeah. And so I called. I was in Sydney, 9596555, and answered. I was like, mum. She's like, no. I was like, oh, who's this? Where's mum? And because you're in Sydney, there's still the same number. You were meant to put 03 at the start if you wanted to get through to Melbourne. Yeah, man, I had this conversation.
You sound like such a baby too. It sounds like such a baby. Like, where's mum? Where's mum? You big fucking baby.
Yeah. And then, no, she was a young girl. We got on and I was like, you're kidding me. You know what I've done? I realised as soon as I sort of got halfway through trying to ask where mum was. Yeah, I was like, this is crazy. I live in Melbourne and I'm up in Sydney and I've got the exact same number of you as you. How cool is our number, by the way? Yeah, this is a bit awkward.
Yeah. What other, are there funny. Any other numbers that you remember that are a little bit oddball?
Mate, I can reel off a bunch. I probably won't because they might still exist.
I'll do one as a good promo. Mexican Cantina in Narre Warren, in Rebound Court there. 03, if you're in Victoria, 9796-6199. Ask for Arrett and try their beef tacos.
I had friends that I remember their numbers, not restaurants. They were your friends.
Well, look. If people haven't heard about the relationship I had with Mexican Cantina, I loved Mexican Cantina so much. I started going. They started in, I think it was 1988 in Dandenong, and then they probably, you know, I was born in 1990, probably when I was about seven, so say 97 or something. They opened up in Narre Warren. We started going there. Maybe it was probably. Yeah, anyway, don't have to get into specifics of their history, but I went there from probably the age of seven, and I went there nearly, I reckon, every weekend, especially once I turned 18. When I turned 18, Bree and I would go religiously every single weekend. But yeah, it's one of those restaurants that has been consistent in my life. So
yeah. That's where we went.
I was the Facebook. Yes, we've been there, but I somehow ended up being the Facebook page manager, which they've taken me off since. But I remember sort of maybe 2010 or something. It's not that long ago. It's only 8 years ago. But I remember saying, "Hey, I think you should set up Facebook." And then I took photos for their website, and they basically paid me in food. So they'd bring out a big family-sized nachos. I'd take a couple of real dodgy photos under the restaurant light, and then palm it off to my bro, and they would all eat it. It was good fun.
That's classic. You're the big dog. Just
big dog.
Boys, we're getting nachos. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
Free.
Yeah, got me 50 mil 1.8 lens on. Never shot food before. You haven't said, like, and Mexican, let's be clear. Tex-Mex, amateur photography. It was a great experience. But if you go to their website now, I think they still use the photos, and you can see, like, the actually, if you go to Mexican Cantina now, their website, and I think they've done, like, the great Photoshop job where they sort of cut out the corn chips on the top and the nachos to sort of be a little bit of a transparent background. It's a strong, strong look for memory. But
and it's your photo?
Yeah, these are all my photos that you'll see.
Classic, still being used from 8 years ago.
Yeah, I should probably, maybe I should have done some sort of royalties deal or some sort of refresh. So every single year I get one free sort of all-you-can-eat type of deal.
Well, it wasn't too bad. It was all right. The food was all right, but I wouldn't go every weekend.
Mate, I love that place. But hey, before we go, Munich Hotel. We spoke about this yesterday with the episode that never made it to air because of the fucking delay. But for people who don't know, I did an Insta story about it. But basically, I left a review about a manager at about a hotel that we'd only just checked into. So I was basically in the situation where I was like, am I going to bump in to this lady because I've said some pretty sort of harsh words? And guess what,
TJ? You came down hard. And you preempted. I think you were. It was from interaction to posting was very short. So it was before you'd even checked in. And so what's happened?
Well, so I left a review which sort of just talked about how rude the person was. And the funny thing was that there was she hadn't written back to any. If you go onto Google, if you type in, was it Relexa, R-E-L-E-X-A Hotel Munich, go into the Google reviews, you'll see that they haven't responded to any of the reviews except mine, because I realized that this lady was just basically, very short version of the story, a guy off, basically, we came in early, 9 a.m. and said, we just want to leave our bags. We realize we're here too early. So, and he basically said, there's actually a room now. So if you just go to the side, we can just get you checked in. So we go to the side. Then this lady, the manager, said, hey, can I help you? And said, oh, we're being looked after, blah, blah, blah. She started checking in the details and said, that will be €50 additional for being early check-in. And that was when I said, oh, no, we didn't want to be paying for it. And she said, well, that's the policy, and was like really rude about it. And I basically, in that moment, turned to Bree. I said, I just can't believe this interaction that we're having right now. And she was just like fuming. She was like this real sort of like really sort of a villain in a film, basically, really big eyes and smiling and saying, well, that's just our policy, sir, type of thing. Anyway, in that moment, I said to her, I said, what is your name? And she said, excuse me? I said, what is your name? And she said, oh, I'm Mrs. Blah, blah. Anyway, so I realized that she was, none of the reviews had ever called her out by name. So, and there'd been a few of like the rudest service I'd ever received type of thing. And I think she must have been some sort of ex-model, because if I typed in her name and she was in an old, probably from the 90s, like an Omo style ad where she's sort of working at a hotel and at like a resort, talking about how she uses this cleaning product for all of her laundry. Anyway, so
she's an actor.
So she's had a bit of a stint. So anyway, I called her out by name, and then this morning when we were checking out, she said, room 504. I said, yes. And she said, Mr. Jansen. I said, yes. And she said, Mr. Josh Jansen, because that's what I put. I have Joshua on the reservation or whatever, but Josh Jansen is my username. And I said, yes. And she said, was there anything else that I could help you with today? And I said, no.
Oh, no.
And then we walked off. Like, and so it was in that moment, I was nearly ready to tell her how much of an asshole she was, but I let it go. My heart was beating.
God, I can imagine your heart beating.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's beads of sweat down your face. Do you think she was trying to sort of get a raise out of you?
Oh, absolutely.
By the way she said it?
She was trying to get a raise from the beginning. What were you saying, Breezy? Oh, yeah. Bree, one of the things that Bree was thinking, which we haven't heard yet, but basically when we walked into the room that we had, it smelt like weed. So my vibe on it was, I was like, I wonder if she's sort of given us this room because they were notorious for all these people complaining about being extra charges on their credit card for things, where they're like, oh, you've fucked one of the sheets or done something. So there was a part of me which was waiting for an extra charge where she said that we're being smoking in our room, which would be very, very funny if that was to happen. Oh,
well, I think she knows what kind of a review she'll get if that comes through on the old credit card.
Yeah, mate, word of the day. Should we give it a crack? Yeah, we haven't done one in a little while.
Yeah. It was breaking up. It's just...
Oh, okay. The technology.
I don't know how much of a fan of the Poland the internet system over there. Just
were you going to call it the Poland's Telstra? Was that what you were about to say?
I was about to.
I think tomorrow, I'm currently on the hotel Wi-Fi, but I might just try 4G tomorrow because I do have a SIM card. I'm trying to, being tight on my data after using it all yesterday. But and Breeze, she calls out. Word of the day, bemused. Do you know what bemused means, TJ?
Bemused. I was bemused. Blown away, amused is where I would take it. It was, I don't know.
Sort of close.
Give me the
puzzled, confused, or bewildered. That's bemused for you. It's an easy one. It was sort of a last minute add because I want to make sure we continue with this word of the day.
I was going to say dumbfounded, a similar, like stumped, like something's just stupidly wrong.
Yeah, well, I think I could say that with this situation in Munich, that I was just completely bemused, which is probably a good good description.
If you come back talking like a pompous fuckwit, just with all these new words, mate, I'm disappointed.
To be clear, I think I'm just going to get at a standard where I can articulate myself properly. But Any other housekeeping? What else is happening? Any other news? Anything else you want to leave the audience with?
I've got to go pick up my son from his little cot and give him a little bottle. So my hands are full in terms of housekeeping.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm going to go to bed. It's 11 p.m. and I feel like I've been wired because of doing this show, especially last night with the fucked episode and then getting out Bianca's one and writing all the stuff. I was like, it's been one of those ones where I've been going to bed after midnight, which is fine when you're on holidays, but I just feel like I'm on holidays, I'm not getting 8 hours a day, 8 hours a night. So I want to change that. So there's a bit of a sleep update from JJ.
And I'll bring you my sleep update tomorrow.
Yeah, perfect. No, it's the Daily Talk Show, everyone.
We'll be back.
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while since we've... I know it's probably not a great one to ask for it, given with the delays with the communication. But if you are liking the show, please leave us a podcast/iTunes review. I check it every day because I'm a bit of a vain fucker and like to know what people are saying. But it's been probably a week since we've had a review, which is giving me the shits. So... feel free to give us a review there.
Catch you tomorrow, guys.
Catch ya. Bye.